Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good to be with you again, continuing in our studies in Matthew's Gospel. We're in Matthew 5, please. Matthew 5. We're going to read the first six verses of Matthew 5. Verses 1 to 5. Verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen, and the Lord will bless his word to our hearts today. The Lord Jesus opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed, 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 the blessed, the believer. The one who is truly blessed is the person who's in relationship with God. And that person is, you can identify them in this, they are poor in spirit. They see and know poverty of spirit. They need Jesus. They also are a person that mourns over sin. Sin grieves them. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. And because of that, the true child of the kingdom of heaven is someone who is meek, not proud, but humble, because they see their utter dependence on the grace of God. The Christian sees his spiritual state and he mourns over it and is humbled by it. But also, the true child of the kingdom is someone who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. This is the next characteristic of a child of God's kingdom. They're hungry and thirsty after righteousness. And here we begin to see a slight change in emphasis in the Beatitudes. Up to now, Jesus has been teaching us the passive characteristics of a Christian. They are poor in spirit. They mourn over sin. They are meek. Now, we see the Lord's beginning to teach about the appetite of a child of the kingdom of heaven. What a true child of God desires. We have our usual 2 points on the Beatitude this morning. But this is the first of the Beatitudes that I've taught, where there will actually be 2 sermons on this Beatitude. This morning we're looking at the first 2 points, which is the teaching with a little bit of application at the end. And next Sunday evening, God willing, because of all the books that I've read and the ideas that I've thought, we will be fully applying this Beatitude next Sunday night, which is, of course, the practical and fun bit. But let's introduce it and look at the teaching with a little bit of application this morning. 2 points on verse 6 of Matthew 5. Number 1, who is blessed? They that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the second point, as usual, why? For they shall be filled. Who is the blessed? According to Jesus, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what do these words that Jesus uses mean? They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Greek word is a present active participle for do. A believer is someone who presently, actively puts in effort, but it's a participle. And I was never very good at English at school. I could write stories, but my English grammar wasn't so great, so I always have to look up the tenses of verbs. But a participle is any word that ends in an ing. Looking, doing, presently, actively doing. So, blessed are they which do, which are doing. Hunger, to be hungry. It actually, the Greek word means to painfully feel real hunger. To painfully feel the need of hunger. And the word thirst, to suffer from thirst. To painfully be in want of something to drink. To really thirst, like it says in the psalm, the deer panting after the water brooks. The same thing, it's a real painful hunger. And thirst, by the way, is also a present active participle. It's an ing word. Who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now, the word righteousness can be used in a few ways in scriptures, but the Lord's speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount to those that are already believers, not they're already justified by faith in that sense of righteousness. But the word here, hunger and thirst after righteousness, is taken in the broad sense. Righteousness is the condition that's acceptable and pleasing to God. The Christian has a very distinct characteristic or trait in that they do presently, actively. It's how you identify a Christian. Not because they professed 20 years ago and now live the same as the world. No. A Christian presently, actively will be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That's a child of the kingdom of heaven. The Christian wants to be and wants to live in a condition that pleases and is acceptable to God. Now, this is a very visible sign of a true citizen of the kingdom of heaven, is it not? Listen to Thomas Watson, the Puritan. It shows us a true character of a godly man. He hungers and thirsts after spiritual things. And then he puts Isaiah 26:9 and Psalm 73:25. And he says, a true saint is carried upon the wing of desire. It is the very temper and constitution of a gracious soul to thirst after God. End of quote. The true believer has a spiritual hunger. He wants to know and to do the things that are pleasing to God. He wants to know God's will so he can do it. He hungers and thirsts after it. His desire is to do the right thing. The righteous life. Yes, we know that as believers and everyone that's a Christian, that it's Jesus Christ's righteousness that is imputed to our account and makes us right with God. That's a Christian. But the Christian, knowing that, is striving to be in life what they are judicially in the court of heaven. Declared righteous. And we want to be that in life. It's our desire. This hunger and thirst after righteousness. A little bit of deduction or application. Brethren, we see this so obviously. A hunger and thirst after righteousness, to do the things that please God, this is the opposite of the world's mindset, isn't it? The complete opposite. A Christian sticks out. It's not a mystical thing. A Christian is so different. Their whole mindset is the opposite of the world's mindset. Our thought patterns are so different and contrary to the world's mindset. The world wants to be happy and content and joyful. But what do they hunger and thirst after? It's not righteousness with God. And what they hunger and thirst after, does it satisfy them? It eludes the world. They hunger and thirst after fun, have a good time. And if they have a good time tonight, is that them satisfied? No, tomorrow it's the same again. And they have to keep going back. It never satisfies. It never fills. They hunger and thirst after entertainment. But it doesn't satisfy. They hunger and thirst after their appearance or money or whatever it is. And it continually eludes them and they're never, never satisfied. Always that hunger inside wants more, more, more. Because without hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you'll never, never be filled. Never be content. I'm only giving you one reading this morning from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, but it's worth reading. Let me read it to you now. It's quite a long quote, but it's well worthwhile. The doctor says, he was a medical doctor, as you know. He was assistant to Lord Hoarder, who was the general practitioner, the doctor for the royal family, and he gave all that up to preach the gospel. Listen to what he says. We are not to hunger and thirst after blessedness. We are not to hunger and thirst after happiness. But that is what most people are doing. We put happiness and blessedness as the one thing that we desire, and thus we always miss it. It always eludes us. According to the scripture, happiness is never something that should be sought directly, but it is always something that results from seeking something else. It is the obvious tragedy of those who are outside the church. The world is seeking for happiness. That is the meaning of its pleasure mania. That is the meaning of everything men and women do, not only in their work, but still more in their pleasures, pursuing happiness. They're trying to find happiness. They're making it their goal, their one objective. But they do not find it because whenever you put happiness before righteousness, you are doomed to misery. That is the great message of the Bible. From beginning to end, they alone are truly happy who are seeking to be righteous. Put happiness in the place of righteousness, and you will never get it. The world, it is obvious, has fallen into this primarily and this primary and fundamental error, an error which one could illustrate in many different ways. Think of the man who's suffering from a painful disease. He's speaking now as a doctor. He's suffering from a painful disease. Generally, the one desire of such a patient is to be relieved from his pain. And one can understand that very well. No one likes suffering pain. The one idea of this patient, therefore, is to do anything that will relieve him of the pain. Yes. But if the doctor who is attending this patient is also only concerned about relieving the man's pain, he is a very bad doctor. Doctors in the NHS, listen to Martin Lloyd-Jones. Don't medicate symptoms. It used to be a criminal offense. See? If the doctor is only interested in relieving the man's pain, he's a bad doctor. His primary duty is to discover the cause of the pain and treat the cause. See? I'm not get sidetracked in this, but it's one of my hobby horses. Pain is a wonderful symptom which is provided by nature to call attention to a disease, not the pain. So if a doctor merely treats the pain without discovering the cause of the pain, he is not only acting contrary to nature, he is doing something that is extremely dangerous to the life of the patient. The patient may be out of pain and all seems well, but the cause of the trouble is still there. It's been masked. Now, that is the folly, says Dr. Lloyd-Jones, of which the world is guilty. It says, I want to get rid of my pain, so I will run to the movies or to drink or do something to help me forget my pain. But the question is, what is the cause of the pain on unhappiness and wretchedness? They are not happy who hunger and thirst after happiness, but blessed and blessedness. No, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There is no happiness and contentment in the world's things. The world's pleasures and the things we seek to make us filled are short-lived. They just medicate a symptom. They don't deal with the cause. But note, hunger and thirst. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. These are conscious, daily human desires. Physical. We have also unconscious physical desires that we're not conscious of. For example, oxygen in our blood. We're not conscious of every breath. Or our muscles need protein and energy and so on. But we're not conscious of that. They're unconscious desires. But what's hunger and thirst are conscious physical desires. Hunger. We know what that is, and if we've ever been really hungry, we know what that is. To feel really hungry to the point of pain. And thirst. To really need to drink. To be dehydrated is painful. The blessed person, the Christian, is someone who is consciously desiring as hunger and thirst God's way, spiritual things. They naturally desire and want to be righteous. So who's the blessed? That's the first point. They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those who have a concern, an inward desire for spiritual food and drink. For righteousness. To live according to what's acceptable and pleases God. But we cannot. We fail. And that's exactly why it's like a painful hunger and thirst. Because we are hungry and thirsty after righteousness as believers. And when we fail, what happens? As true believers, we don't just say, ah, well, I failed again. No problem. No. You feel an inward pain when you sin against God, don't you? There's this painful desire for righteousness. The real child of God very strongly wants to live God's way. And it pains him or her when they fall short. Because they want to live up to the standard that God wants. It's an attitude, you see. It's not living a perfect life, but it's the attitude or desire to do that distinguishes a Christian from a false professor. Oh, Pastor, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. That's true. Nobody's perfect. Al Martin says, that's the hypocrite's couch. He lies on that quite contented that nobody's perfect because it excuses him for his sin. Nobody's perfect is a hypocrite's couch. But for a believer, nobody's perfect is a bed of thorns, not a couch. The believer's not comforted by the fact that nobody's perfect. It grieves him. The true church, the true Christian is someone who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. The pretender is someone who does not hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's simply what the verse says, isn't it? Who's blessed? They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. To hunger and thirst after worldly things and pleasures and a good time, well, you'll remain unsatisfied, according to verse 6. Second point. Who's the blessed? They that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Second point, why? For they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Shall is future tense verb. In the future, shall be filled. They shall be full. They shall be satisfied with food. They shall be filled. Here it does not mean filled by the Spirit. It means satisfied with food. They'll be filled. Completely satisfied. You know, when you get a big meal at certain times of year, and maybe you get this plate laid in front of you. I love it. And on it there's turkey, right? And there's ham, and mashed potato, and roast potatoes, and stuffing, and carrots, and sprouts. You have to have the sprouts, because and the stronger they are, the more horrible the nicer they are, and the mushy peas, and the carrots, and so on, and the gravy. And definitely no cranberry and jam. Who wants jam on meat? But anyway. And then after that, you have pavlova, or maybe banoffee with whipped fresh cream on the top. And you eat the whole lot. And then maybe your mother or your wife comes and offers you even more. And you just take a wee bit more turkey. Oh, and eventually you have to push the chair away. And you've had completely enough. And you say, I'm full. I am totally satisfied, more than satisfied. That is what the Greek word means here, believe it or not. If you live with a hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled, satisfied, contented, completely happy. You won't even want any more. But it's not a once and for all filling. As you live in hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you shall be continually filled. That's how a Christian lives. It's some meal, if you can eat it and not be hungry again later. You want to know why a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is blessed? For they shall be satisfied. There's not many people are content and satisfied in this world. But a believer can be content with whatever situation they're in. They can be satisfied. As they hunger and thirst after righteousness, that's the only way to be completely satisfied in this life. So who's the blessed? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They have a conscious desire to live God's way. And secondly, why? For they and they alone shall be filled. A little application and challenge then at the end. The question has to come to you and to me. Do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do I have a spiritual hunger? Do I consciously desire to live in a way that's acceptable to God. If that's my desire, there's things I'll do in life that will cause other people not to like me and cause me pain, but I'll do it anyway because I hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to do the right thing that's God-honoring. Now, obviously, someone who's just a professed Christian doesn't have this desire. But then you have to ask, how then could they be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven when Jesus says this here? Christ is describing a citizen of the kingdom in what they do. They hunger under thirsting after righteousness, present tense. The teaching of the Beatitudes, of this Beatitude in particular, therefore, by way of application, reproves all those who do not hunger and thirst after righteousness in five ways. Number one, it reproves those who have none of this spiritual hunger, who desire sleep rather than food. The great multitudes of professed Christians who are too lazy, too sleepy, too lackadaisical to come to get spiritual food, the word preached. When I was in Wade Abbey, I sometimes mentioned the word, there are far too many oncers in the church today. Some people didn't like that. They were the oncers. They were not too sleepy to go out. They were not too sleepy to go to work on Monday morning. They weren't too sleepy to go shopping. Only too sleepy and lazy when it came to spiritual things. I remember two women, and they came to Wade Abbey about once every 2 months. They didn't go anywhere else, but they came once every 2 months. They were always tired. And that's why they always meant to get. It was too much effort on Sunday. Sundays was difficult for them. They were too tired on Sunday. But you know what? They were still able to go out of their house every single week, go to the bus stop and get the bus from Carrickfergus to Belfast to go to the market every week. Funny how the sleepiness never happened then, isn't it? Strange that. But this sleepiness just came on the Sunday only, not when you get in the bus to the market. Too busy not putting God first, but other things first. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They want to do what God says they should do. They want to do. This beatitude also reproves those men who have no spiritual hunger because they refuse spiritual food. They don't need sermons, God's word. They're not interested in what the Bible says. They don't want food. If they want the spiritual food, it has to be selected to their own taste. And they refuse the word of God all too often. It reproves that type of person. And thirdly, this beatitude reproves those that have no spiritual hunger and who delight more in decorating the plate than the food that's actually on the plate. You see that a lot in hotels today, don't you? But spiritually speaking, all decoration without content. Garnish all the church's worship, all the wee man-made frills, do this and do that and do the other. you preach no more than 10 minutes now. Because they want all the plate garnished with nice little things, but they don't actually hunger and thirst after righteousness, God's word. It reproves those, fourthly, who prefer profit and recreation before spiritual food. And fifthly, it reproves those who want merely to talk about religious disputes rather than be faithful and listen to the word preached. I'm going to do more in this application next week because it's worth applying. The reproofs for the lack of those who are not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We ask ourselves the question, because it has to come down to our own motives, our own desires, and our own heart. We can only answer the question ourselves, do you and I hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do I want to live in the way that pleases God? Because the child of the kingdom does, only because they have seen their poverty of spirit. I'm bankrupt spiritually without my Savior. I mourn over my sin and my condition. That leads me to be humble and meek. I'm not proud because I'm nothing special. I am what I am by the grace of God. And because of that, I hunger and thirst after that which I never hunger and thirsted after before. God, when God fills the human soul with grace abundant, we have inner peace and we desire bliss through glory. May God bless you and thank you for your attention this morning, brothers and sisters.